Welcome to an all-new episode of Sip the Sauce. I'm your host, Lydia, and today I have with me, I hope I say this right, Sabrina Magnan. I probably butchered it. She is a holistic health and mindset coach. Thank you for being here, Sabrina.
It's my absolute pleasure, and you did not butcher my last name.
Okay, that was, you know, that was when I was stretching for. So this whole month of August has been a health, wellness, slash fitness type month for us in the show. And so I was really interested to have you on because, you know, we live in a diet culture, whether, you know, it's low carb, low fat, organic, whole foods, keto, Atkins, calorie counting, deficit. I mean, there's the list goes on and on and on. And I found your reading your philosophy and your website and your approach to health and wellness very refreshing. And so please explain to myself and our listeners what it is to be a holistic health and mindset coach.
Yeah, absolutely. So I specifically work with women who have a long history of yo-yo dieting and wanting to get healthy and maybe wanting to lose weight and trying all of those restrictive diets that you listed, right? So keto and calorie counting and meal replacements and all of those things that are really just quick fixes and band-aids. And so I help those women finally find an approach to health that is sustainable, that is actually enjoyable, that allows for flexibility and balance and moderation and doesn't require that you give up all the things that you love or that you put your life on hold just to feel better. And I really focus on the health part. And yes, if weight loss follows, then that's great. But that's not the primary focus of what I work on. I work on sustainable health.
Okay. So what is, I guess, what is sustainable health? You know, what do you categorize that as?
Yeah. So what I think is really important is for everyone to have an approach and a lifestyle that is individual to them. There is not going to be a one-size-fits-all that is going to work for everyone. And what's important is finding those daily habits. And I work a lot. The name of my coaching program is Healthy by Habit because I work on creating those small changes, those small habits and behaviors every single day that you can maintain for the long run. And that is going to look different for everyone. And it needs to be something that fits in with your routine, your lifestyle, and your preferences. Because if you're constantly trying to white knuckle or fight through someone else's plan, then you're only going to be able to do that temporarily while your willpower and your motivation is super strong. But willpower runs out, and then eventually you just fall back into your old patterns.
Mm-hmm. So as a new client of yours, what is kind of, you know, your steps or your process for getting a program or, you know, understanding their habits and working with them?
So initially, I always have them fill out an initial intake form, which allows me to look at their entire life, right? And you asked me before, what does holistic health even mean? And so many people, when they try to get healthy, they'll only focus on one aspect of their life. So whether it is food or exercise, those are the two big ones. But if you really want to change your lifestyle and transform your mindset around your health, you have to look at all areas of your life. And that's what holistic means. It's looking at what are your relationships like? What is your mindset like around food? What are your daily habits around food, around sleep, around stress, around self-care? I want to know about your job. So this initial intake form, it allows me to really get a big picture of what is going on and what areas of your life do you need to focus on or do you need to work on? And there's going to be a specific order based on where you're at. Some people, what they'll do is they'll jump right to exercise, but they haven't addressed the nutrition part of it. And so, of course, they're always tired and they're trying to force through these workouts that they don't have the energy for because their nutrition is not where it needs to be or their sleep is not where it needs to be. So I take a look at all aspects of their life and I see, okay, where do we need to get started so that this process makes sense and that you can actually stick to it instead of going from step one to step 10 and then having it fall apart when life gets stressful or overwhelming.
That makes so much sense because, you know, for so many people, getting healthy is nutrition and fitness, like you said, but you can't put your full effort into any nutrition or fitness if you've got stress that is, you know, keeping you unfocused, if you're not sleeping well enough and recharging your body and, you know, work, if it, you know, your work isn't work-life balance isn't there. So that makes a lot of sense that you just don't look at one aspect of it, that you look at the entire circle. And that's how you get, I guess, the holistic health aspect because you're trying to help in general their entire life get better.
Absolutely. And it is so hard to try to change, let's say, your eating habits or your exercise habits when there are some underlying issues that haven't been addressed. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times I see a lot of mindset blocks, and I always say this, yes, fitness and exercise and food is going to be a piece of the puzzle, but it's only going to account for about 20% of your success. 80% is going to be mindset and your beliefs and your daily habits. And that's the part that people tend to neglect so much.
I can definitely see that and understand that. That's really, that's a great explanation of kind of like what you do in your business. So one thing when I was looking through your website that jumped off the screen at me because it's it's my love in life, you know, how do you help somebody, you know, adjust their mindset so they can eat pizza without guilt? That was like the big thing. I was like, yes, I would love to eat pizza without guilt.
Mm-hmm. And the reason why I use the example of pizza is because I used to struggle with dieting and the guilt and the anxiety around food. And pizza is my favorite food. And that was the one that was the hardest because I felt like I could never eat it without going overboard. First of all, I couldn't just have one slice. If I had one slice, I had the entire pizza. And then you feel like crap after. And not only do you physically feel unwell, but you've got all the emotional and mental kind of guilt and regret that's going on. And this is something that I teach my clients, first of all, is to really get attuned with mindful eating. Mindful eating is this practice of being fully present and fully intentional with your eating habits and your eating choices. And a lot of the times, the guilt when it comes to pizza or ice cream or whatever it is, it comes from feeling like you made a decision on impact. You made a decision very quickly and very autopilot kind of way. And you're doing it and you're feeling like I shouldn't be eating this. And you've got like these thoughts about good foods and bad foods. And number one is to realize that there are no good and bad foods. There are some foods that are going to nourish your body that are going to be a little bit more nutrient dense. You know, that's where the salmon and the vegetables and the fruits come mm-hmm. in. And yes, those are important. But when you are looking at a long-term lifestyle, when you're looking at maintaining your sanity, and I'm not one of those people who say that food is just food. Food is emotional. Food is an experience. Food is there to nourish your soul. And in order to have something that you can do for the rest of your life, you need to have those foods that are purely for enjoyment. And when you're able to take away this kind of category of good and bad foods, and you're realizing that all foods can fit, and you're also on top of that, you're making your decisions from a place of full intention of, I'm going to have this food and I'm going to enjoy every single bite of it. I'm going to be mindful. I'm going to be present. And until I don't enjoy this food, I'm going to have it and appreciate it. Then your entire experience around food changes.
That's very thoughtful, because I think a lot of women grow up with such a horrible relationship with food, you know, and it's because, you know, our mothers had horrible relationships with food, and it goes on and on and on. And, you know, you do look at food as some food is bad and some food is good. And so when you do have food that's in the bad category, it really does something to your psyche. Instead of just saying, you know what, I'm enjoying this cookie and move on with your day, it sends you into like a whole paradigm of, you know, I'm making horrible choices. Now I'm off the wagon, and now everything's gone to hell in a handbag for the day. And, you know, it just starts like a snowball effect. And so that, I think that's really big, is changing your mindset to food. Because heck, I know I have, you know, that's one thing, if I could learn, I would want to learn how to change my personal mindset to it. I think my mindset is better than it has been in a long time. But still, you know, I just love chocolate chip cookies. And I was at the store today and I saw, and I was like, nope, can't have it, because if it's in the house and I have it, then, you know, I have one and then it's all done. And, you know, that's one of those things that I hope one day, I hope that I don't think that way.
Yeah. And another tip, which could be really helpful for you too, is giving yourself that unconditional permission to eat all foods. So even the ice cream and the cookies. And this is kind of a myth that a lot of my clients were following, and I see so often, is that I think it's pretty terrible advice, is to not keep the foods that you feel weak about or that you feel tempted around in your house. And All that does is it makes you hyper aware of those foods. It makes you think about them more, and you kind of think, oh God, I wish I had gotten that cookie at the grocery store. And you think about them more and you amplify those cravings. Whereas, let's say we were to change the situation and you went to the grocery store and you said, you know what, I'm going to have these cookies. They're not good. They're bad. They make me feel really good and I like the taste of it. I'm going to bring them home. And every time that you decide to have a cookie, you decide that it's going to be the greatest cookie ever, right? And you sit down with it and you don't, you know, you don't eat it while distracted, where you might go from one to two to four and then you look at the box and it's empty. You decide, you know what, after my meal, I'm going to have a cookie and I'm going to enjoy every single bite of it. Then after that, you can make that decision. Okay, that was a great first cookie. Do I really want a second one? And when you have that unconditional permission to eat, and let's say you do get to a point where you're full, you can say, you know what? I'm full physically. I've had enough. I can have one tomorrow. I can have one the day after. And you take away that urgency of finishing that entire box, because you know that you can have one tomorrow if you want.
Wow. That's a game changer of the mindset. That's, you know, really keying into mindful eating, because you're right, you know, with those certain items, like you eat them on the go, you don't pay attention to it, you just shove it in and keep going. You know, if you actually sat down and enjoyed what you were eating and what, you know, you are enjoying at that time, you know, you can make the decision of, you know, I've had X amount, I'm full, I'm done. If I want more, I'll get some tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That really, it might have nothing to do with it but for me, I feel like that really plays into like the difference between how people perceive food in Europe versus perceiving food in America. Because every time I've traveled overseas, you know, eating a meal is an experience. It's an occasion. You know, you sit down and it the presentation, you savor everything, like you enjoy everything. And, you know, I don't know if anybody else has done this, but I feel like sometimes when I go on vacation, especially to Europe, I feel like I'm eating everything in sight. But then I come home and I'm like, wait, I felt like I ate everything, but I didn't gain anything. What? Actually, I lost. And I know I walked a lot, but how did that happen? And it's like, you're just so satisfied because you've given yourself permission. I'm on vacation. You're in a country where they, you know, really value the set down meal and enjoying their food. And it's a whole different experience. And what you just explained to me, like I envisioned like sitting in a cafe with my cookie and my coffee and really enjoying that time and savoring it, which is something I would never do here in my daily life.
I had the biggest smile on my face when you were talking about Europe, because the question I get the most often is, how did you overcome, you know, the yo-yo dieting? How did you heal your relationship with food? And what it was is I lived in Europe for a summer. I went to Italy to live in an Italian host family, and I was a nanny there. And exactly as you said, that changed my entire perspective on the food experience, because I was terrified to go to Europe. I was in my deep dieting days where I was not eating carbs. I was not eating bread or pasta. I was afraid of cheese because there was too many calories. And just the thought of going to live in a country of carbs and of wine and of ice cream and gaining weight, that was my biggest fear. And I almost didn't go because of the fear of food. That's how much diet culture was ingrained in me. And when I got to Italy and I saw that the word diet was not talked about, like they don't have conversations about calories and how much you're eating. You're eating, you're slowing down, you're enjoying your foods. You have like these 4-hour long dinners, and just the entire yes. mindset around food is so different.
That is, I mean, that's the beautiful part of Europe, of Italy. I visited Paris, and that is the exact, you know, similar experience I had there. And it's just like, it's food over there is love and comfort and a way of life, where here it's almost a dirty word. And if a lot of people will say, you know, food is just fuel. And if you do not look at it that way, then there's something wrong with you. And that's why you're not fit, is because you like food. And, you know, just listening and everything, I'm like, okay, how can I incorporate that into, you know, my life and my family life? I have a small child and I want him to grow up to have a good relationship with food and look at food as a, you know, mealtimes in our home as an experience, not just, you know, something we do as we're running around the house or running out the door. So, I mean, personally, that gave me a lot to think about. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree that, like I said before, I don't vibe with the food is just fuel mentality. And I'm a health coach. And of course, I take care of my body. And when you do give yourself that permission to eat all of the foods, it doesn't actually make you eat all of the foods. It just makes you tune in to, okay, instead of all these rules about what I should and shouldn't eat, what do I want to eat in this moment? And when mm-hmm. you finally take away that internal drama, you start to crave things like vegetables and fruits and fish and protein, those things that your body do need as well.
Right, because you're listening to your body, you know, and at that point you're saying like, oh, today, yes, I want that glass of wine, but guess what? I also want those bell peppers and, you know, that salmon and all this other stuff. And, you know, I wonder if, and I'm just reaching here, I wonder if that's why in Europe they shop every day instead of, you know, once a week, because they decide in the moment what they want to eat and what their body needs. That I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I'm going to decide it does.
I like that. And it definitely could be like, it could be, you're not meal prepping something. No one meal preps in Europe. Like, you're not meal prepping this big thing on Sunday where you're going to eat the same thing every single day. You really just tune in on, okay, what do we feel like having today? And how can we make this a special and new meal for us and the family?
Oh, I love that. It just sounds so European. I love it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with meal prepping, and I do meal prep. But if I meal prepped a meal for a day and I don't want to eat it, I will just not. Like, I will just not. And there are some times where you're not always eating the most fancy meals, but always just tuning in on what does my body feel like having. And sometimes that just means cracker and cheese. And sometimes that means this big fancy salad with salmon and cheese. But that's okay. Your body is going to fluctuate based on what it needs that day.
So one last thing I wanted to hit, because I agree with this wholeheartedly. So I was scrolling through your Instagram and I saw on there you had a picture, and you were saying like it's the detriment to weighing yourself consistently. And for me, I don't weigh myself. I go by like how I physically feel, how my clothes fit on me, and just how much energy I have. Like, I have other checkpoints that I use. I just feel like stepping on a scale is just so counterproductive, because if you are, you know, hitting your exercises and eating well and just feeling good about yourself, and then you step on that scale and it doesn't show you a number that you want to see, it can throw you off your entire gain. And it's just, I think it's just horrible. So can you kind of go into your thoughts on people weighing themselves?
Absolutely. I'm the same as you, and I used to weigh myself every single day, and now I haven't stepped on a scale in probably 2 years. I don't plan on stepping on a scale, and whenever I start working with a client, I just ask them, if you trust me in this process, let's take our focus away from that number on the scale. And it doesn't mean that you have to stop, you know, going after weight loss, because no matter how much I can convince you that weighing less doesn't necessarily mean you're healthier, we live in a society where it's so hard to not want to focus on that. But weighing yourself, you know, every single day, or putting that much importance on the scale, it literally does not have a positive outcome. Because mm-hmm. let's say you do see the number that you want to see on the scale, then you're going to go two ways. Either one, you got there in a way that was unsustainable, so you are not eating enough and you're overworking yourself, and you tell yourself that, oh, it's working, so I just need to do more of that. And you amplify the disordered eating behaviors, and you amplify this lifestyle that is not sustainable until you eventually hit a plateau. And then the scale is going to reflect that plateau. Or on the other hand, if you don't see the number that you want on the scale, then you're not going to feel any more encouraged, right? You're going to let it affect mm-hmm. your mood. And you can also go two directions. Number one, you say, well, screw it. All the effort that I'm doing is not paying off. It's not working. It's not worth it. You throw in the towel and you just go right back to the old behaviors that left you feeling unhealthy and unhappy. Or you tell yourself, I just need to do more, which is I need to eat less. I need to work out like crazy. And then you're going into an unhealthy lifestyle behavior, which is not sustainable as well. So there really is not a winnable situation in stepping on the scale when you give so much importance to that number.
I 100% agree. I mean, it's just, to me, it's just an evil, evil contraption. I mean, if you are feeling well and you can see yourself that you're looking better and your clothes are fitting well and just overall you feel like you're in a good place, who cares what the number says? Like, be happy that you feel positive and happy and continue on your journey, because I've never once heard anybody, like you said, step on a scale, whether they like the number or don't like the number, and say, I'm doing a good job. I'm going to continue. You know, there's an extreme one way or the other that comes out of it. And it's just, I'm so anti-scale. I don't keep one in the house. Even when I go to the doctor, like, I refuse to look at the number when the doctor does it. And I'm like, I don't need you to tell me anything. You know why? Because I feel fine. Like, I feel good. And so don't you, you know, shame me in any way in that exam room, because I am good with what's going on here. And I really loved seeing that on your Instagram post.
Yeah. And another thing is, it completely disconnects you from your body, because you start to distrust yourself and you start to think about all the things you should be doing. Because if you're eating well and you're exercising and you're sleeping and you're feeling good, but the number isn't going down on the scale, even though that number could be representative of more muscle, it could just be representative of water retention. But even if you're doing all the things that feel really good to you, but the number doesn't reflect it, you start doubting yourself and you start thinking, mm-hmm. well, I must be doing something wrong. And it so disconnects you from every single day, what are you doing? And are you proud of that? And do you feel good?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. So everybody throw out your scales. Just saying.
Yes, please.
It's our opinion. Yeah. Just throw them out. Just open the door, toss it out. Let some other poor person pick it up. Well, Sabrina, I really have appreciated having you on the show today. I think if anybody listening is hearing you, understands that you have, I feel like, really dialed in on helping people kind of change their relationship with food and having a better mindset. So if somebody would like to, you know, have you be their coach or, you know, follow you on social media to get more information from you, how is the best way for them to find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you are interested and you even just want to know more about what this would look like for you, you can find me on Instagram and just send me a message at sabrina.magna, my last name, .health. Or you can go to my website, which is sabrinamagna.com. Or you can even find me on Facebook at Sabrina Magna Health Coaching and Consulting.
Perfect. And I will make sure and put all of that in the description of the show so people can just go there and click if they want to. I think you have really dialed in on it, and it was really great talking to you and seeing your philosophy on everything, because I think you've really got something good going there. And again, thank you for being here. And everybody, thank you for listening. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at @sip_the_sauce. And make sure you check for new episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day.